Welcome to episode 140 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on February 2nd, 2010. Connected Caching. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Montu Ryder.
If you want to participate on our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live show chat room to participate with our other listeners, and that can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. Our voicemail line is 206-350-3GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. This episode is sponsored by Cache Advance. See cache-advance.com for all of your caching needs. Welcome back, guys. It's only 1 week here until CacherCon. Montu, how have you been?
Pretty good. Unfortunately, lately around here, it's been rain, go away. Nothing but work.
Well, I spent most of my time this last weekend on CacherCon 2010, which is on Saturday. So, Andy, it's not quite a week. It's less than a week now.
That is true. I'm just super pumped about it.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great event. And I spent most of Saturday working on my backup presentation about photography for cachers. And, you know, I really want to give this talk because, you know, I've got some great slides now. It's, you know, awesome material. But I hope I don't have to, because the whole point is if someone doesn't show because they get a flat tire or, you know, get sick, whatever, I can jump in with this presentation and, you know, we won't have any holes. It's, you know, nice presentation. And, you know, I just hope that I don't have to give it because I don't want anything to happen to anyone. And we've got so many great topics planned.
That is true. And you know what? I looked in our chat room here before we started, and we have a handful of the people that are actually going to be at CacherCon on live with us tonight. And so it's kind of like a preparation for this next Saturday.
Well, that's great. And they can all join us. You know, anyone who's in here who's not going to be there in person can join us live through TalkShoe. Or we're going to do that Ustream if they actually want to see it.
Yes, it ought to be fun. I'm super excited about that. I'm prepping for that. I think I have my GSAC presentation done. I need to give it to my wife here and kind of refine it a little bit before we go. I'm just running pocket queries and stuff like that for the local area there. Now, Daryl, there is going to be no live show next Tuesday because we're going to be live at CacherCon on Saturday instead. And like you said, that's going to be 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, and 8 a.m. Pacific Time. So if you can join us, we'd love to have you guys in person. If not, go ahead and join us at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Watch our Twitter feed for other information that you may have from us that we may get out to you. Other than that, really just been working on the CacherCon stuff. There's not really been much going on since last week for me. Now, Daryl, I look through your slides too, and they look like they're going to be a lot of fun. If you get to give it, they're good tips for photographers.
Yeah, well, the nice thing is, too, I'm going to start turning those into some blog posts. And, you know, you and I had kind of talked, and I'm hoping to actually turn that into a quick little, like, one-minute tip on this show that we'll do every, you know, week or so, drop these in just as another one of those drop-in hints.
Yeah, that would definitely be cool.
Yeah, so I started working on the blog post actually tonight. You know, I'm not going to have a whole lot of time to get the stuff done until after CacherCon. But I'm hoping, you know, sometime about 2-3 weeks from now, we can start actually dropping those into the blogs and doing them as audio.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Geocaching question of the day. Bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello. This is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Recently, Twitter user JeepinIdaho wants to know, do you have a device capable of playing a Where I Go cartridge? For those of you who do not know what Where I Go is, let me explain. Where I Go is a location-based game from the creators of geocaching.com. The cartridge isn't a physical cartridge like we have for the Nintendo DS or other handheld games. The cartridge is a file that contains all the information and media necessary to play the game. The response to this question did surprise me with the low numbers of geocachers playing Where I Go. 50% of us replied that we have a device capable of playing a Where I Go cartridge, most of us having the Garmin Oregon or Colorado series GPS. So tell me, do you have a device capable of playing a Where I Go cartridge? You want to find out all this and more? Follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Tonight, we are going to be talking about connected caching. And by that, we mean using devices and things like that in the field to stay connected via the internet, via some other way like that. So there are several different ways, and we've talked about a lot of these things separately on different episodes of this podcast, but we thought it'd be really good to bring them all together in one kind of umbrella topic of connected caching. So if you want to join us tonight, if you have used any of these things, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Go ahead and press the star 8 on your keypad, and we'll go ahead and get you into our chat room here. The first thing that we really want to talk about tonight is, Daryl, what can we talk about?
Well, we probably want to go over the field notes again, because I have gotten some emails on this. People just don't quite seem to fully wrap their heads around what the field notes do and how that all works if they haven't had a chance to really experience it. And really what the field notes is just kind of like a big bucket that Groundspeak will dump all of these SMS messages or the links from the phone, the logs from your various connected devices without actually posting those live. So what it does is it gives you a list of all of the caches that you've logged through those devices and gives you the option to click into it, write a full log. And some of the devices don't give you any options for any kind of text in your log, just found it or not found it. So this gives you them an option to change or to make a log. And if you're on one of the devices like the iPhone or even like Textmarks, which we'll talk about next, it gives you the option to go and edit those logs, which might just be some quick abbreviations so that you would remember stuff. A lot of people put in their coins that they're dropping so that they know which ones they dropped into which cache. And those kind of codes you don't want getting out. So this gives you a safety net. It takes all of that information, dumps it into a list, and then just one by one you go through. When you log it, it disappears from that list. You just go down to the next one and next one and next one until you're all done. So it really is kind of nice, and it gives you a lot of cool features.
And I would say, too, it's really nice because it's not really meant to update the field notes in general. It's not really meant to update your friends on which cache you're at. I mean, you can do that through Textmarks in your Twitter account and things like that. But the field notes is more for keeping all of that information, like you said, where it's more than just a found it, didn't find it, things like that. I know when I first started caching, I had a GPS that was hooked to my laptop, and that didn't do any sort of, couldn't mark anything at all in there. Then I went to the eTrax Legend, and with that, I was able to kind of figure out what I had found and things like that. And same thing with my 76, but it doesn't really give me an option to, I say I found it, but then I have to go back and kind of read the cache page and try to remember, oh yeah, it was that specific cache, and what I kind of remember what I wanted to say. Whereas with Textmarks and field notes and things like that, the various devices that support field notes, you can go ahead and put all of your information that you want to log in there and then kind of tweak it when you get back home, like you said, Daryl.
Yeah, and we should also mention that field notes aren't restricted to just these connected machines. They've also adapted the field notes to work with the Garmin, the DeLorme, and some people have actually figured out ways to hook into that, like CacheMate and PowerNotes will actually generate the files that you can upload, and then it will create the field notes, and from there you can do all your posting. So it is really versatile.
Getting back into the Textmarks here, you had briefly mentioned that, and we kind of talked about it on a previous show, but what it is basically that you send an SMS message to with the title GEOC, like geocache, to the number 41411. And that response will give you a device identifier to link to your geocaching.com account. Once you've linked that to the account on your geocaching.com page, you can go ahead and any future SMS messages will work to and post directly to your Groundspeak account from your phone. Now, the easiest way to do it and the basic way to do it is send an SMS message, GEOC, at the geocaching code, with like GC46H1T, and then space some text, and that's what you want your log to do to be, and then that will become your found log. And it, the cool thing about this is then you can also link that to your Twitter account, and your Twitter people can see where you're at, what you're doing, what kind of caches you're hitting. Now, a side note on that, though, and a word of warning, is a couple of things. People are going to know exactly where you're at. They're going to know that you're out caching. They're going to know which cache you're at. So if they wanted to mug you, wanted to do something like that, don't necessarily know that they would, but if they did, they'd know exactly where to find you, because it is all live when you log them with the text marks. And the other thing is, some of your Twitter followers may get kind of annoyed, especially if you're going after, say, a 100 cache day, things like that. They don't necessarily want to see your all of your log posts like that out.
Now, the other thing with text marks, though, is that's actually two-way, if I recall, and you can actually request information about a cache. Am I correct?
That is correct. And I believe it's the exclamation point instead of the at sign. If you exclamation point the GC code, it will give you the information back on the cache. And then, likewise, you can also say X GC code, and that'll say do a did not find log. And so that is two-way. It is nice to be able to get to see those if you need some information in the field and weren't prepared. Maybe you just knew you just had the coordinates, nothing else. You can use text marks to get some information on the cache. Not real, real in-depth, but it will give you a little bit of an idea on what the cache was. Now, we have talked a little bit about the spot before, the spot and the PN60W. Now, Daryl, how would we use that in connected caching?
Well, really, this is kind of like using the text marks. You're really limited in the amount of text that you can send for your logs. You know, there are 50-character limits for your logs. And with text marks, you know, you have the code, the at symbol, and the GC code. So by the time you subtract all that, you're looking at what, maybe about 100 characters that you can submit. So this is even more limited than using the text marks function. And this is only one way. So that's it's a cool thing because you don't have to worry about where you are in the world. You know, anywhere that you can get a clear view of the sky, you should be able to send a message. You know, unlike your phone, where if there's no towers around, you're not going to get a message through. But the problem is that is one way. Now, presumably, your PN60 is going to have all that information that you need. It'd just be if someone went and archived it in the hour or whatever that it took you to climb up that mountain after loading the GPS that you wouldn't necessarily know. So it is a cool thing. It's great for the folks who are going on those really outback kind of hikes. But otherwise, you're probably better off with one of these other connected devices. Even the dumb phone running text marks, you know, will give you more flexibility in the connected communication than will the PN60W with the spot.
No, Montu, Daryl did mention text or dumb phones. Can you go ahead and tell us, if we have a dumb phone, what exactly is a dumb phone and how can we still be connected?
Well, with the a lot of the dumb phones, they do have minimal internet connection. We can, of course, access the WAP geocaching.com website instead of the regular geocaching website. This is a stripped-down version of the site. A lot of the graphics have been taken away. It's pretty much just a text base only. And through this, we can access the different caches and, of course, log our finds, as well as getting basic information on a cache, as long as the cache owner hasn't used a lot of pictures or graphics in their listing. Another option for the dumb phones is, of course, the Trimble Geocache Navigator, which was designed for those phones, which works a lot like some of the apps that we have today for the iPhone, but not as fancy as some of the newer apps, but still it gets the job done, and it can get you out there to where you're finding some of the caches.
Well, and that Trimble Geocache Navigator was actually the first one to make use of field nodes. You know, it was the first device out there, the first piece of software, actually, out there that really did the connected geocaching and did it well. and they're available for a lot of your dumb phones, including the Symbian OS phones, the N60, I think it is, series from Nokia, in a free version, so you don't even have to have the paid version. And that's actually available for the BlackBerry smartphones as well. So if you're on a BlackBerry, that's a good connected option. And really, it's about the only true connected option. There are some other smartphone apps, like on the BlackBerry, you have CashBerry, which is not really a connected app. It does a lot of the kind of stuff that you'd want for a connected app, but it doesn't talk with the API. It's not really doing the live queries and things like that that we really love about the connected caching. And then on the iPhone, you know, obviously we have the official iPhone geocaching app, which is really the standard right now for all of that kind of connected caching, because it was developed by Groundspeak. And fortunately, they will be porting that to the Android. That's due, I believe it was first half of this year is what they were quoting. But there are some other apps out there that will do some of that connected caching kind of stuff, including Geosphere on the iPhone, GeoBeagle on the Android, and on Windows Mobile, the one that was recommended to me that's not breaking the terms of service is called Cashbox. And they're not really connected caching, but they'll do a lot of that kind of stuff. And like Geosphere and GeoBeagle, when you hit the GPX file download option from the individual cache page, it downloads all that information into its database, and then you really have about the same kind of functionality that you'd get out of something like the official iPhone app. It just takes, you know, a few more steps.
The other option for connecting, and this is one that is definitely interesting and you can do a lot more with it, is the EVDO cards, EVDO cards. That's around $50 a month for 5 gig of data. You can also get one for $30 a month for 250 meg of data. And basically what it is it's what they call an air card, something you can plug into your computer, and it lets you get onto any web page, any internet, just like you were connected via Wi-Fi or, you know, hardwire connected. It's great because you can, if you have a netbook, you can connect and download pocket queries. So say you're taking a long trip and you went somewhere you actually weren't planning on it. Sometimes that happens to us. We take different routes, different things like that. You can get on anywhere you're at in the car, as long as you're getting a cell phone signal, and you can surf the internet, download web pages, things like that. A few of you may have seen a couple of my tweets a couple of weeks ago on Friday. I was tweeting from Hootsuite, the actual full web page on my laptop in the car, and I was using an air card like that. It's great. You can see the full web pages like that. The other option with this is what they're calling a MiFi, which broadcasts a Wi-Fi signal from the car. It's good for sharing a connection with the people in the car because everyone in the car is going to have your Wi-Fi connection of your air card. So you can hook up your things like your iPod Touch, anything else that has Wi-Fi on it, without having them to actually physically plug in the card to it. So if you're taking notes in the iPhone app, the iPod app, you can go ahead and take your notes, upload them as soon as you get to the car.
Yeah, and really these cards are available for just about any of the 3G carriers, not just those with CDMA, which is what the EVDO standard is. There's also the HSDPA for the GSM guys. And now, here in the U.S. at least, there's some available WiMAX, which Sprint is calling the 4G service, and that doesn't really work in all areas yet, so you still have to fall back on the 3G, but it's getting you those better connection speeds, and we're not too far from looking at LTE starting to roll out here in the U.S., and I know a number of the countries around the world are also starting to look at that. So it's going to take a couple of years, but once we get that LTE out there and once we see more penetration of like the WiMAX, we're going to start seeing these speeds really improve. And it really will be more like you're connected to a broadband connection at home with all of these cards. Now, one more thing, though, too, is some of the services for the cars, I believe it's Ford Sync, actually just announced at CES this year that if you have one of those USB thumb keys or the thumb modems, It will actually allow you to plug it into the car, and the car will do the job of like that MiFi and create that Wi-Fi bubble around the car. So it's not portable. You know, the MiFi is great because it will run off its internal battery for like 3 hours, I believe it is. So you can take it in with the rest of the crew in the restaurant. You can be poking around on your PDAs, your laptops, your iPod Touch, you know, whatever. And it really does make it nice because you don't have to have a data connection for each of those devices. You can share it among up to 5 devices.
As far as the air card, I've got a Verizon one. Yes, the speeds are not high speeds, but they're really not bad. I mean, I can surf and I can do anything that I want with that. It is great for when you're driving, pulling down pocket queries, uploading your finds and things like that.
Yeah, and the problems that I've had with the Wi-Fi or with the MiFi, and you know, I don't actually have one. I just get to play with one occasionally when going on road trips with TL4, who does have one, has been more that you'll start hitting those zones where it starts dropping, and you'll have more retries, and it just really doesn't work as well as you'd expect. But that's true of just about any connected device, and that's the whole point of the Spot Messenger. With that PN60 is that even if you were to lose your phone service, you do get to send your notes out still because it's using the satellite, which doesn't have those geographic restrictions of towers.
If you have any other way that you are staying connected here with while you're caching, go ahead and give us a call. We're about ready to wrap up this show, but if you have anything quick to put in, 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Press the *8 to get on the chat with us. Or if you're listening to this later and you want to put in some information on this topic, go ahead and call our voicemail line, 206-350-3GPS. And leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you.
Now, one thing that we're probably going to get some comments about is the iPad. Now, my feeling on the iPad is just too big and clunky to go out caching with it. But if you get the 3G version, that's kind of slick in that it's not a subsidized device. So the 3G service is only $30 a month for the 5 gig data or $15 a month for the 256. And if you get the 3G version, it does have a GPS. If you don't get the 3G version of the iPad, there's no GPS. So that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah,
but I still wouldn't want one.
And again, it's gonna be decent size. From what I understand, you can run any of the iPod apps and iPhone apps on it. They just kind of have a full screen button that you can push. It's gonna I think it would be something that's too big to take out into the field. From what I understand, it's about like the size of an Amazon Kindle. And I actually held one of those in an Amazon Kindle today, and I think that it'd be too big to cache with and take out in the field.
Yeah. Now, and some of the netbooks, too, actually come with connectivity built into the netbook, and so do some of the laptops. So really, that's, I think, one of the better ways to go is, you know, if you're looking for something more than a smartphone, the netbooks with the built-in connectivity really are pretty, pretty cool. And I found one earlier today that's going to be shipping that's a really tiny little device from Fujitsu, built to be a little bit tougher than most. It's got the touch screen with the multi-touch, so great for using the Windows 7 gestures and things like that. And I believe it was like an 8.9-inch screen, so you know, really tiny little netbook. And you know, you think about that, you got the full keyboard, you can do your full GSEC, all of that kind of stuff. So if you're really into that kind of stuff, it's great. Personally, though, I really prefer something a lot smaller and a lot simpler when I'm in the field. So I like using like the iPhone. I'm looking at Android as my next one and kind of keeping an eye on what's going on there with like the GeoBeagle and with the official iPhone app or the official geocaching app for Android, not the iPhone app. You know, because that's going to really be where I'm going to go. And I still like holding the two different devices in part because the GPS is hardened and I like taking that out. I don't have to worry about bouncing that around as much as I would a smartphone. So the smartphone really still stays in the holder much more than it's out when I'm out caching.
I think that wraps up tonight on Connected Caching. Again, if you have anything to put in and we something we didn't touch on, go ahead and give our voicemail call, 206-350-3GPS. And again, we are not going to have a live show next Tuesday, so don't come next Tuesday. We won't be doing this live, but we will be doing a live show Saturday, 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Join us live, geocachingpodcast.com/live. And thank you for subscribing to this, the Geocaching Podcast. Join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line, 206-350-3GPS, anytime and leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.